It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times on 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. And I'm joined now by Stephen Dinan, Washington Times political editor. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Andy.
I checked out your story in today's Washington Times entitled Defenders of the Constitution Don't Always Use It for Law. So let me try to get my hands around this. They take the oath to defend the Constitution, then they don't use it nor understand it.
You understand that better than they understand the Constitution. That is, you know, it's amazing. They instituted a new rule at the beginning of the previous Congress, so back in 2011, requiring lawmakers to submit a statement of constitutional authority along with every bill they file. And the statement is supposed to say, cite specifically where in the Constitution that document gives them the power to do whatever it is they're trying to do in the bill. So I went through, we now have 2 full years of this. I wasn't able to go through 2 full years because I'd already put in more time than I should have on this, you know, probably 80 hours of work going through. Wow. I went through the first 35 or 3600 bills that had been introduced, during the first year and went and looked at the different authorities that they cited and I'd started as sort of an academic exercise to see, okay, let's figure out what Congress thinks are the most powerful clauses of the Constitution for doing stuff. But as I was going through them, I came across all sorts of people doing crazy things with their statements and some just completely goofing up and showing they really don't understand the document that they swore to uphold in the first place.
Okay, so they have to cite the Constitution before they can introduce the bill, or as they introduce the bill. So,
right.
And that's something that is decided by the Rules Committee, right?
Right. That's a rule of the House. Now, the rule says you have to submit it, and as long as there is something there, the bill is accepted. So there's nobody sitting there going through and,
right,
saying, well, this looks unconstitutional to me, so we're rejecting it. I mean, that's what the whole House is supposed to do, but there's no real mechanism for enforcing this other than once you submit a statement, it could say, I say it's in the Constitution because I say the Constitution is green, and that would be good enough.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't, but a lot of them essentially ended up doing something, I mean, not literally because the Constitution is green, but some of them essentially filed statements that said, it's constitutional because I was elected to Congress and I say so. I mean, that's literally the paraphrase of some of these statements. So that's the level we're talking about.
Yeah, and I saw some very creative stuff you had put in your piece, like Carolyn Maloney of New York using Amendment 13, slavery abolished, for a child labor bill.
Yep. Yeah, there's that. One of the one of the more creative ones was the congressman who it was some bill dealing with federal land, and so he used Article 1, Section 8, Clause 14, Article 1, Section 8 is the part of that's the 18 different clauses in there that lay out the basic powers that Congress has. That is the most powerful part of the Constitution, where it says Congress has the power to spend, to lay taxes, to decide a naturalization law, to establish a military, to coin money. All the basic things we think that Congress can do are established in Section 8 there. Clause 14 of that gives Congress the power to regulate land and naval forces, but I was shocked at this. A number of different congressmen, probably a half dozen, took that clause and cut it off at the power to regulate land, period. And so they took that to mean, oh, we have the power to do whatever we want with federal lands. There's actually a different section of the Constitution that does give Congress the power over federal land. But these guys just, you know, they took a section designed about the military and just, you know, basically cut off the quote. If I did that as a reporter, I'd be fired for cutting off a quote halfway through and changing the meaning. But they did this with the Constitution.
Yeah, well, that's just what we like to refer to in radio as selective editing.
Yes. Yeah, no, that's exactly what it is. I was surprised to find out that members of Congress were doing it with, maybe I should say I wasn't surprised to find out that members of Congress were doing it with the Constitution.
All right, now, they have no excuse for not knowing the Constitution because, once again, it was read aloud on the floor today.
Yep, this morning they went through another reading. It's sort of a sad exercise, and it goes along with the findings of my review of the authority statements. You know, they'd said they wanted to have about 120 members there to read it, in the end, they got about 75 or so. It was so so bad that they ran out of, you know, they try and alternate back and forth between Democrats and Republicans. They ran out of Democrats before they got through Article 4. There are seven articles in the Constitution as it was ratified in 1787 or 1788, and then there were 27 amendments to it. They didn't even get to the amendments before they ran out of Democrats to read. That's how little enthusiasm there was on the Democratic side. They at least had enough Republicans to go along, to keep them moving, but only because they actually started giving people two and three different sections to read. They're like, okay, no, just keep reading. So, you know, it's really funny. The previous Congress, 2 years ago, the first time they did this reading, they came in with all sorts of enthusiasm, and it was actually a pretty interesting and debated issue. They actually had a debate about what they were reading and what they weren't reading, what parts had been repealed, et cetera. This time around, none of that. It was just sort of, okay, fine, some of us are here to do this, and here we go.
Mm. You know, I guess that many members feel the whole process is unnecessary, huh?
Yeah, some of them I'm sure would say, we already know it, why bother reading it out loud? You know, we already know it. That's sort of why I had so much fun doing that first story, though. It turns out that so many of them don't know. I can't get away without mentioning one of the most interesting things of that was a congressman from Washington named Larson, a Democrat from Washington, who his constitutional authority statements, he actually just thumbs his nose at the whole process. He goes ahead and says, in his statement says, I was elected to Congress. It's my job to write laws. It's Supreme Court's job to decide constitutionality. That's not the job of lawmakers. That's the job of the courts. First of all, that goes against, 200 years of historical understanding. The courts have a role of refereeing it, but these guys take an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution, and that in part means deciding, adhering to the Constitution, not just writing stuff and throwing it on the wall and seeing if somebody later thinks it sticks. Even funnier, though, is that this congressman, when in his statements he said it's the job of the Supreme Court to decide things, he consistently placed the Supreme Court in Article 2 of the Constitution, which, of course, actually is the White House, the executive branch, and so he got the Constitution wrong, even as he was saying, it's not my job to know the Constitution.
Okay, good. All right, I'm just curious, this morning, have you heard any rumblings over the president's news conference yesterday?
It's safe to say it struck a bad note with a number of folks in him continuing to say that he's not going to negotiate on the debt limit. Republicans sort of had a great time yesterday pointing out his own 2006 vote when he voted against a debt limit increase. Even more interesting to me is Joe Biden, who back in 1984 led a group of Democrats and a few conservative Republicans. The roles were exactly reversed. You had a Republican president, a Republican Senate, and a Democratic House, and the Republicans, of course, were pushing for a debt limit increase, a clean debt limit increase, I might add. And at that point, it was Joe Biden who was saying, no, you have to negotiate spending cuts. We're not going to deal with this debt limit unless you negotiate spending cuts. It was so bad that the Republicans actually had to send Air Force jets out to grab a couple of senators who were back home in their districts and bring them back in order to win the second vote on this. So
Wow. A
complete reversal from where we were. Now it's Republicans who are saying, no, you have to negotiate, and Democrats saying, nope, we aren't going to negotiate.
All right, but nobody's hinting as to where we go from this point forward.
Nope, it's sort of shocking how little negotiation there is with essentially a month left before we could hit this deadline. You know, the guess right now is that the House Republicans will go ahead and do something on the House floor and get this debate kicked off. The real question is, does it ever get beyond that, and we go into these backroom negotiations, or does President Obama insist he's not going to negotiate? And for that matter, John Boehner, who got stung by the last set of negotiations on the fiscal cliff, does he say, okay, I learned my lesson, I'm not negotiate either, we're going to have to see the Senate actually pass something, and then we'll begin a conference committee. So it's unclear where it goes right now, but, looking like stalemate, if you were to ask me right now.
All right, very good. Stephen, as always, thanks for your help. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Stephen Dynan, political editor here at the Washington Times. 427, 730 AM, 102.9 FM, WTNT. Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times. Stay tuned.